Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading text, well, from chapter 18, because this is Vamana Dwadasi, and this is versus the appearance of Lord Vamana, and the whole chapter, a little bit here.
Yatad vapur bhati vibhushanaryudhair.
Yatad vapur bhati vibhushanaryudhair.
I don't know the meter here.
Avyakta chid vyaktam adharayadhari.
That's a different meter.
Avyakta chid vyaktam adharayadhari.
Vabho vat. Tenaiva sabamano vatuho. Sampashyator divya gatir yata nata.
Sampashyator divya gatir yata nata.
There must be a better meter. That's not it either.
Yatad vapu bhati vibhushanayudhair.
Yatad vapu bhati vibhushanayudhair.
Avyakta chid vyaktam adharayadhari.
Avyakta chid vyaktam adharayadhari.
Vapu bhati naiva savamano vatu.
Vapu bhati naiva
Sampashyator divya gatir yata nata.
Sampashyator divya gatir yata nata.
Much better. One more time.
Yatad vapu bhati vibhushanayudhair.
Yatad vapu bhati vibhushanayudhair.
Avyakya chid vyaktam adharayadhari.
Avyakya chid vyaktam adharayadhari.
Labhuvati naiva savamano vato. Sampashyator divya gatir yata nataha.
Sampashyator divya gatir yata nataha.
Yat, which, tat,
that,
vapuhu, transcendental body,
bhati,
manifests vibhushana with regular ornaments, ayudhai, and with weapons, avyakta, unmanifested, chid vyaktam, spiritually manifested, adharayat, assumed. Harihi, the Lord, Vabhova, immediately became, Tena, with that, Eva, certainly, Saha, he, the Lord, Vamanaha, dwarf, Vatuho, a Brahmana, Brahmachari, Sampashyatoho, while both his father and mother were seeing Divya Gatihi, whose movements are wonderful, Yatha, as Nataha, a theatrical actor. Translation, the Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word nataha is significant. It's not nata, it's nata. Nata means lord, and nata means actor. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in Brahma Samhita 533 and 539, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adyam paranam purusham. Doesn't have the Yoganamsha though. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Ramadi murtushukalani amena tishtan nanavataram akarogubaneshu kinto. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person, with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamana Dev appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayana, with four hands, equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons. And then he immediately transformed himself into a brahmachari. Vatu. In the verse, the word Vatu. Vamano Vatu. Vamana means dwarf. Vatu. He's a dwarf Brahma, a dwarf brahmachari. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body, boo, is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Sachit Ananda Vigraha. So, this is Vamana Dwadasi. What a fantastic month, huh? This appearance and that appearance and the other appearance of the Lord and Srimati Radharani and Srila Prabhupada, you know, Ramana. The emphasis in the purport, well, two points of emphasis, the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance, and some details about the transcendental nature of what is it about the Lord's appearance that makes his appearance transcendental? How are we to understand that? If one doesn't understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance, then when one hears these narrations, one will think wrongly. One of the wrongly ways of thinking is, it's a material form. And maybe a higher grade, better version than ours, but it's still a material form. So it's projecting or superimposing upon the Supreme Lord our own limitations. That's called envy. He's not limited like we're limited. He's unlimited. And because he's unlimited, part of his unlimitedness is that he has unlimited potencies, then he can manipulate or direct those unlimited potencies in unlimited ways. Jiva Goswami, I like this very much, in his Bhagavat Sandarbha, one important lesson is there's no question of understanding the personality of Godhead without accepting the fact that his existence possesses, in his existence he has unlimited inconceivable potencies. You know, the reverse would be, if he doesn't, then he's not God. And if he does, he's God. Or if you say, if he doesn't, then he's something less. But he's not something less. He's complete. So, part of his completeness is unlimited inconceivable potencies. Pause. And then with that, it becomes possible to know anything about him, or to accept exhibitions of his unlimitedness, including this message here that he has millions and millions and millions of forms, but he's one person. And so it's not pantheism. So many gods. That's not the message. There's this one person. And that one person, you know, is in the Vishnu Tattva category. He's not one who empowers others like the demigods, and they're also God. It's not that message. He's Vishnu Tattva, and he manifests through his inconceivable potencies, unlimited forms, as is happening here. Very similar. Not identical, but very similar to what Krishna does when he appears in the prison house of Kamsa, the son of Vasudeva Devaki. He manifests this Narayana form, and then he assumes the childlike form. And this is his moving of his own potencies. Yogamaya potencies make these arrangements for multiple purposes. One of the qualities of Krishna is he's expert. And an aspect of that expertise is, by one thing, he's accomplishing many things. It's not multitasking, it's just one thing does multiple things. So he's satisfying Kashyapa and Aditi. He's satisfying the demigods. He's giving this benediction specifically to his pure devotees. He's going to, in turn, reward Bali Maharaj. It's like many things at the same time. He's attracting our hearts and minds on the principle of bhakti or devotion to him. And, you know, so many, whatever number of years later, here we are having some subject matter about the Supreme Lord, Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, to purify ourselves. It's like many things with one thing. Just a couple of words of appreciation that go back on the words from the verse, and now narrate the pastime a bit. In the second line, well, in the first line, Vibhushana and Ayudhai, with weapons. So this is part of the transcendental nature. What child is born with ornaments? What child is born with weapons in their hand? What child is born with four arms? What child is born talking? Right. The Supreme Lord. So it's not a child like us. It's transcendental. And he's Narayana. He's the personality of Godhead. Or from a previous section, he's a plenary portion. A plenary portion of the Supreme Lord appeared in the heart of Kashyapa, and he understood that. He felt that. And then he transferred that plenary portion onto his wife. And his wife gave birth, and the Lord stepped out, forearm form. It's transit divyam. And then in the next line, very nice, avyakta chid avyaktam, the manifest unmanifest, avyaktam vyaktam, and the agency of that which manifests the unmanifest is the chid potency, the spiritual potency. By spiritual potency he manifested himself, srijamyaham, in the language of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna manifests himself. Supreme Lord Narayana manifested himself. He didn't need anything external. He used, instruments, Kashyapa, Aditi, the prayers of Lord Brahma, and so forth. They got some service, but he doesn't need their service. He's accepting their service, and he's Srijamyaham or Chid Vyaktam. And Adharayad Dhari. Adharya is the accommodating potency of the Supreme Lord. Sankarshan in Brahma Samhita is has the all-accommodating potency by which the spiritual world is manifest, and the expansion of that Adhara Shakti, the material world, is manifest. It's just pastime. And the Lord does his pastimes, including the spiritual manifestations and the cosmic manifestations, through his accommodating potency, which is under the control of Sankarshan. But originally, Krishna is the basis and the source of emanation of all expansions and all potencies of those expansions, and everything you can think of and everything you can't even think of. So, Adharayad Dari. He assumed this form, Adharayad Hari. And then Vabhuva, immediately, presto, you're like a magician. Da-da, da-da. Could you do that again? Da-da, 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 da-da. He can go any direction he likes because he's a magician. He's Yogeshwara, he's the master of all mystic potencies. So, Bhuvaha, te naiva sa vamano vatuhu. This Narayana became a dwarf Brahmin, Brahmachari. Right before the eyes of his mother and father. Divya Gatihi. Divya is, of course, transcendental. And in this case, Gati generally means like destination or goal, but in this case it's his what he does, his movements are divyam. Like yata nataha, which is the word that Prabhupada begins the purport with, like an actor. Like an actor, but not, in other words, it's not like Krishna, okay, I'm going to put on this costume. That's what actors do. And then they take off that costume and put on another costume, and then they take off that costume. So it's not, there's a distinction between worldly actors and the original actor. He just manifests another form, and that form is not different than him. It's not like the inside and the outside. It's him. It's a plenary portion of Govinda. A portion of a plenary portion of Govinda. And the form is all spiritual. Not like an outside form, like a costume and then the inside. But he, like actors do, like we know, so a metaphor is something that we know helps us understand something we don't know. As this, so like that. Our acharyas give this very nice example of what a metaphor is like. It's pointing to the moon, and if someone can't see the moon for some reason, you can say, see the tree? And in the branches of the tree, see right there, there's the moon. It looks like the moon is in the branches of the tree. But it's not in the branches of the tree, it's beyond the branches of the tree. You know, like that. So, something that's beyond our conception and beyond our experience, it gives us like some direction, like this, something that's known, something that's unknown. And here's the distinction. The form of Bhamana is not a costume. It's him. That's the distinction. But he can change his position like that. And Krishna does that, we know from Krishna's pastimes. He manifests so many Krishnas, and then he becomes one Krishna. And he does so many things. He's in a forearm form, then he's in a baby form, and then so many things. So, the appearance of Vamana goes back to one of Indra's manifestations of pride. One of those things. It's a lesson in the Bhagavatam that repeats itself in different ways. Indra's the fall guy in a number of cases, but to take the post of Indra, to speak of attain the heavenly planets, it requires enormous amount of piety. To attain the post of Indra, king of heaven, enormous amount of piety. And what comes with piety? The fruits of piety. Oh, opulence, fame, power, position. Yeah. But not pure devotion. So, I've said this so many times. This is a mathematical formula, and it works every time. Fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. Fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. Guess what? We have pride. Because there's some piety and a heart that's impure, and so there's pride. We have it's a beast. It's something that definitely at least needs to be managed. You leave a beast in the wild and look out. Don't let pride go gallivanting here and there. Best to make the heart pure. Not like do some impiety so you counteract some of the piety. Don't do that. Make the heart pure. So one fine day, Indra was passing along a pathway, riding on the back of his big elephant carrier, Airavata, along with his entourage. Doesn't say how they were moving, but they just happened to pass on the path Durvasmuni. Uh-oh. And Durvasmuni was in a good mood for a little bit. And then he wanted to offer some respect. Brahmanas offer respect to Kshatriyas. he offered his garland. Because of pride, Indra received the garland with his hand and gave the garland to the trunk of his elephant. And the elephant, not having any sense of the value of the garland, took the garland and threw it beneath his legs and continued marching and trampled the garland. It wasn't just the act, it was the pride. So Durvas Muni became furious and he cursed Indra. Your pride will be your destruction. All your opulence and your position and everything that's of value will be taken from you. Bad news spreads fast. The Daityas found out. Whoa, Indra's been cursed by Durvas Muni. Let's go, get our weapons and take over the heavenly planet. So off they went. Big battle, long description. Big battle. And the demigods were getting trounced by the demons, headed by Bali Maharaj. So what did the demigods do? They went to Lord Brahma, "Help! We're losing our kingdom." And Brahma, understanding their predicament, meditated very deeply upon the Supreme Lord. He opened his eyes and pronounced, "The Supreme Lord, we should go to the ocean of milk. In this universe, there's one planet that's a spiritual planet. Something like in the sky, there might be, anyway. The cloud of the material energy is covering the spiritual sky, but the spiritual sky is where we are right now. St. Louis is part of the spiritual. The cloud is the cloud, but within the cloud is within the spiritual sky. So Svetha Dweep is such a place." So they went there. And they offered various prayers. And similar to Krishna's appearance, Lord Vishnu replied, "Very soon I will appear." It was Aditi was then in great anxiety because the demigods, headed by Indra and others, some of the others, were her sons. And she was her motherly affection. Her little boy Indra did some boo-boo, but, She was concerned for his welfare. So, many years passed where Kasyapa had been off engaged in samadhi meditation. He came back to the ashram and saw everything was bleak and Aditi was despondent. And he asked her, "What's the difficulty?" And she disclosed everything. "Oh, our sons have lost their kingdom, and they've lost everything, and hell." So, Kashyapa, being the qualified Brahmana that he was, he knew what to do. He said, The only recourse in a situation like this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he gives his favor, then everything can be corrected. Very similar to what Dhruva Maharaj's mother said. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, if pleased, he can make anything possible. The impossible becomes possible. So Aditi then requested, what is a means by which I can appeal and appease and please Lord Vishnu? So in this particular occasion, he described to her a very difficult, severe austerity vrata, 12-day vrata, payo vrata, described it in detail, and Afaditi went and performed the 12-day vrata, and at the end of the 12 days, Lord Vishnu appeared. A beautiful description of his form. She fell flat before Lord Vishnu, stood up, and wanted to say something, but she couldn't say anything. She was in a stunned condition and stayed like that for a long time. Finally, she gathered herself and offered some very beautiful prayers. And the same Lord Vishnu who later appeared as her son said, "I will appear as your son. You'll please me very much. I understand the situation. I will make this arrangement to satisfy you and to protect the demigods." And he said something very important, which in Vedic culture doesn't get lost, but you know, in our everyday life it sometimes gets lost. He said, when one has the favor of the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, then one is protected, because the favor of the Supreme Lord goes to one who has the favor of the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. You know, the converse is, all this misfortune happened because of pride and the offense to Durvasamuni. And it's not that Durvasamuni is a pure devotee. Durvasamuni is not a pure devotee. I mean, look what he did with Maharaj Ambarish. He's not a pure devotee. He's a powerful mystic Brahmana. Vastly learned, vastly powerful. He's a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. He's not a pure devotee. Through Maharaj Ambarish's association, his bhakti barometer went way up there, but he's not a pure devotee. But offending a Brahmana, well, not just because Durvasamuni had cursed, supposing Durvasamuni said, you know, kesara sara. One's well-being is taken away by that offense. So, and the demigods had received the reaction of that offense, and now his indication, this is Lord Vishnu standing before Aditi, if one gains the favor of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, then one cannot be defeated, because one is protected by the favor of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and thus the protection of the Supreme Lord, him. So he said, "You have pleased me very much." So she's the devotee who has pleased the Supreme Lord very much, and I will appear as your son. And with that, he disappeared, as mystically as he appeared before her. Now, question. From where did he appear? And second question, where did he go to? And the answer is, he can appear from anywhere, because he's all-pervasive. He's within every atom, andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam. It's a nice topic. You know, when Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb of Uttara, I pondered on this like a long time. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Uttara to protect Maharaj Parikshit, from where did he appear and where did he go after he appeared? Same question. He didn't need to come from anywhere or go to anywhere. He's all pervasive. He, like, just exactly what's said here. Avyaktam, chit, yuktam. That's all. He's all pervasive, not visible to our sight, and he can appear. And he can disappear. He's all pervasive. And there's a process, a Vaishnav process, through the medium of bhakti. He can appear. He who is not visible can be visible. Even today. It's not like an empty promise or hyperbole or like, you know, just pumping you up and getting you to believe in something that's fiction. Not so. The Supreme Lord can be visible before your eyes. If you have the eyes. You know, the eyes of love. And specifically, it's a very nice purport that Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksa Daiva Radiyeshu Vyok Velopayanti. Bhakti Siddhanta says it's not these eyes, it's the eye of the soul can see within. As Dhruva saw within. And then the Lord became disappeared from within. Then he opened his eyes and he was before him. He can appear with he can appear however he likes. And what prompts his liking? What prompts is the devotion of his devotee. It's pleasing the Supreme Lord. And pleasing the Supreme Lord, we know, is pleasing those who are very dear to the Supreme Lord. That's pleasing to him. And you offend those who are very dear to the Supreme Lord, and he disappears. And then, you know, the calamity of material existence starts to, like the storm comes in. Whoa, it's stormy. So what prompts all of that is our free will choice, and we can go the other direction. Anyway, so hearing this Hari Katha is part of going the other direction. So he just disappeared. And at that moment, Kasyapa felt a plenary portion of the Supreme Lord enter within him, because his heart was pure. I mean, super soul is already there. So what's this plenary portion? It's a lila. It's the Supreme Lord preparing the way, lila-wise, to appear as their son. And then transferred to Aditi and took birth as this beautiful four-armed form. I'm going to read the description. From the beginning of this chapter, this is chapter 18. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death, like ordinary living being, anyone that receives a material body, what happens? Body dies. For one who is born, death is certain. It's an indirect way of saying he doesn't have a material body. He has form, but it's not a material form. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never subject to death, like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with conch, club, lotus, and disc, and he was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. The body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blackish in complexion, was free from all inebrieties. His lotus face, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, appeared very beautiful. And on his bosom was the mark of Sri Vatsa. He wore bangles on his wrists, armlets on his arms, a helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle bells decorating the lotus feet. You know any child that appears like that? Never heard it in history. An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom. And because the flowers were extremely fragrant, a large group of bees, making their natural humming sounds, invaded them for honey. When the Lord appeared wearing the Kastuba gem on his neck, his effulgence vanquished the darkness of the home of Prajapati Kashyapa. At that time, there was happiness in all directions. In the reservoirs of water, like the rivers and oceans, and in the core of everyone's heart, the various seasons display their respective qualities in all living entities in the upper planetary system, in outer space, and on the surface of Earth, jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and the hills, and the mountains were all filled with joy. On the day of Shravana Dwadasi, which is today, in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion of Shravana at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets, from the sun to Saturn, were munificently charitable. O King, this is Shukadev speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. When the Lord appeared on Dwadasi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian, noon. As every learned scholar knows, I guess we're not learned scholars, this Dwadasi is called Vijaya. Being very pleased, conch shells, kettle drums, drums, pavanas and anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pitas, and fire gods, plural, offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The Sittas, Vidyadharas, Kimpurushas, Kinras, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Suparshnas, the best of serpents, and the followers of the demigods all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house. While glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. And the verse just before this one, when Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. And her husband, upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa, exclaimed, "Jaya, Jaya!" in great happiness and wonder. And then this verse. So, we're honoring the transcendental appearance of Lord Vamana on this Vamana Dwadasi. And we'll hear some more this evening what happens after his appearance, pastime of Vamana. It's also very, very nice how he does what he does. He came for a purpose, multiple purposes already mentioned. But he fulfills all those purposes in a very charming way. That the pastime of Vamana's appearance is very attractive. It's often recited because of its attractiveness. Just two little details. In the beginning of this canto, Canto 8, Chapter 1, the title of Chapter 1 is The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. So, there's a continued list, because going from previous cantos, primarily Swayambhuva Manu and the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu are indicated in detail, or some much more detail than we find here. Several Manus are indicated, and up to this one, Manu number 7, Vaivasvata Manu. So Vamana appears, you'll find in this first chapter. Vamana appears in the reign of Vaivasvata Manu, and he's identified within two categories of avatars. One is Lila avatar, that's common. You know, Das avatar, and Vamana is one of them. Lila avatars. And he's also Manvantar avatar. In each Manu, there's a particular type of, one of the six types of avatars is one who appears in that, predominantly appears early in the reign of that particular Manu. And Vamana is that. Manvantar avatar for Vaivasvata Manu. So it's okay. One type of avatar, one person can be more than one type of avatar. Like another example is Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, this is technical, but Lord Brahma is the guna avatar, in charge of motive passion for the purpose of creation. But he's also a Shaktya-based avatar. He bears the Lord's creative potency, Srishti Shakti. So one person, or one personality, or one manifestation of the Supreme Lord can fall under more than one category of avatar. It's permitted. It happens. And one other little thing, just when Krishna appears in the prison house of Kamsa, and after the prayers of Kashyap, after the prayers of Vasudeva and Devaki, the Lord speaks, and he says, "Previously, I was your son, as two other parents, same person." So these person, it's a little technical how it works, but Vasudeva and Devaki are also Kashyapa and Aditi, or some kinds of expansions and like that. So Vamana appeared as the son of Kashyapa and Aditi, but the same Supreme Lord appears as the personality of Godhead Krishna in the prison house of Kamsa, out of Vasudeva and Devaki. Same Supreme Lord. And in one sense, and there's like different ways of how this one sense works, but in one sense, the same parents, same personalities as parents. Because one has to be very qualified to have the Supreme Lord as your son. It's not just like, yeah, I won the lottery. It's purity. It's pure devotion. And the Supreme Lord appears for the satisfaction of this pure devotee. And it's curious, in one sense, that Aditi is so pure and Kashyapa is so pure that Vamana appears as their son. But some of the other sons, in particular, you know, Indra, well, you know, he does some boo-boos, he's not perfected being. He's a great devotee, but he's not pure like the mother and father are pure. And it can work the other way around. Oh, Hiranyakashipu and Kayadu have as their son Prahlad. So it's not just mother and father. It, you know, each of us, there are some characteristics through, you know, becoming pure. You say Prahlad became pure through the association of Narada. He was already unique. That's why Narada rescued him from the hands of the demigods, even before he was born. In any case, it's proper sangha makes us eligible. And even one may have proper sangha, if one doesn't take proper advantage of that proper sangha, one isn't going to automatically, you know, become pure, reach the topmost stage. It's an opportunity. It's descending mercy opportunity provided, and you have to handle that opportunity properly or receive it properly. That's what's in our hand. Having a receiving capacity and very attentive, or we can receive the mercy properly. Okay, so I'll end there, see if there's any discussion or questions. Yeah? Which festival? I don't know what it is. Bali comes to the earth? I don't know anything about it. Okay. It may be, and it may be just, you know, something that's Hindu tradition that's not, you know, something that we pay attention to. It may be a tamasic message. It may be fiction. I don't know. I can ask some of our learned scholars, specifically, you know, the astrologer learned scholars, if they know something about. I've never heard. Doesn't mean it's not, you know, it might be. Might be. But our position, whatever goes on in the Hindu tradition and calendar, our position is we look to the Pacific succession message, and those messages which are coming to us through Pacific succession, we pay special attention to. And the others we don't pay so much special attention to. You know, Durga Puja is coming up. So, you know, in the Hindu calendar, it's Durga Puja. We honor Shivaratri. We honor, you know, the goddess Durga. But how do we honor the goddess Durga and Lord Shiva? According to, you know, Vaishnava teaching and practice. We chant when we chant Brahma Samhita prayers. We chant the, you know, appreciation and glorification as Brahmatas of Lord Shiva and Durga, but in a different way than how they do. So, I don't know about this. It's the first I've heard any reference that one day of the year, Bali, that he lost his kingdom. He gave it, not like his kingdom anymore. He gave it. Anyway. Okay. I don't know about this. from the Bhagavatam, what it says is, when he goes to rule in the lower planetary regions, Vamana takes the post of his gatekeeper. Why would he leave where Vamana is his gatekeeper and go somewhere else? He was given that post, that service by Vamana. Yay! And he could get some service from the Supreme Lord. Yay! Who's going to leave that? From a Vaishnava perspective. Something else? Yes. Because he was unique. Look beyond the visible. What's beyond that? Who is Hiranyakashipu? He's getting an opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord as his opponent. So what is the behavior of an opponent? They give trouble to the devotee. So he gave trouble to Prahlad. Lord Nrsimhadeva appeared and had his combat and finished him. Okay. Yes. I don't know about immediately. I don't know how much time lapsed. It doesn't give any description. There, in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami indicates there are some forms of the Lord where not so much detail is given, and he's one, where he appears, he does his pastime, and then that's about all we hear. What happens after that? We don't hear much. So you're asking a question that there's, according to what Rupa Goswami says, there's not much revealed. Next. Otherwise, he'd go to Goloka. He doesn't go to Goloka. He goes to a position where he's got. Both. He's a devotee. I'm smiling inside. I call this a college question. You're using, this is a pastime. And there are things that we are to learn from the pastime. But it's a pastime. So it's not like, I'm this side of the pan scale and then I'm that side of the pan scale and, how does it balance out? Not quite like that. Not quite like that. Krishna, Indra is more of a devotee than Durvasamuni is. And Krishna is very kind, especially to his devotee. And Krishna, this is text 55 of Brahma Samhita. Krishna is very specially kind upon his devotee. And for the non-devotee, they get their deserve of karma. But for the devotee, he takes away their karma. And sometimes he does so through the fire of ordeal. So, there's karma, there's good karma for a pious person. But his good karma was taken away, the fruit of his good karma, by the curse of Durvas Muni. And, you know, to remove the pride. Like slow motion is the pride of Nalakuvera and Manigriva. So slow motion, they did their offense and Narada contemplates. Very beautiful. What is to be done to help these two men? They have pride. And pride does this, and pride comes from this place and has that result. So how to remove their pride? He considers very carefully, out of compassion, not like some other way. I'm gonna get it. It's compassion. So the Supreme Lord similarly considers with Indra how to remove his pride. He's a devotee. He's got pride. How to remove his pride? So there's one pastime of one particular Indra. And there's like in every day of Brahma, there's 14 different Indras. In every day of Brahma. Because there's each Manu has his own Indra. So it's removing the pride of Indra. It's one of the things being accomplished by this pastime. It doesn't have to be an offense to a brahmana, but something. And then to remove the pride, some pastime for removing the pride. It's that special kindness that goes to Indra, whatever the rest of the lila looks like. The purpose is removing, one of the purposes is removing the pride of his devotee. It doesn't say what happens to Durvas Muni, does it? He just like cursed Indra and off he went. He didn't get that special mercy. Later he gets it through his association with Umbridge. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. He.